This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There have been 173 documented exonerations from death row in the United States since the death penalty came back in 1972. There have been 1,530 executions, 173 exonerations. That is one exoneration for every 9 executions. If planes crashed with that frequency, we'd be doing something about it. But for the death penalty, we haven't. I think it's time that we look at the facts, we look at our souls, and we decide, is this something that we can trust the government to carry out and to carry out fairly?
Welcome to Red Flags, the podcast where we zoom in on the big cases and zoom out on the bigger issues around them. I'm Karina Michelle, and I run the True Crime TikTok page at Daily True Crime Minisodes.
And I'm Tori Telfer, a true crime author, and my book, Confident Women, is out February 23rd.
The Trump administration has carried out 10 federal executions since July, an unprecedented number, even going ahead with 3 of those executions during a presidential lame duck period, which hasn't happened in 130 years. There are 3 more executions scheduled for this week, but as of this recording, they are caught in a flurry of appeals and denials, and it's unclear which of them will proceed. We wanted to take a closer look at the topic of the death penalty, specifically in the case of Dustin Hicks, who was originally scheduled to be executed on January 15th. We spoke to Sean Nolan, a lawyer on Hicks' legal team, who's working tirelessly for clemency. And for a broader perspective, we also spoke to Robert Dunham, the executive director of the Death Penalty Information Center, an expert on this topic. Tori, are you familiar with this one?
I am familiar with Dustin Hicks' current situation, but I do not actually know anything about what got him into this situation. So I'm excited to hear about it.
On January 27, 1996, Dustin Hicks, alongside Victor Gloria and Willis Haynes, drove from Maryland to Washington to pick up 19-year-old Tamika Black, 23-year-old Michonne Chin, and 21-year-old Tanji Jackson. The group then drove back to Mr. Hicks' apartment in Maryland, and this is where an argument broke out between Hicks and one of the women. It's still unknown what the argument was about. There is a theory that it was because Hicks was romantically interested in one of the women, but she just didn't feel the same way.
Okay.
But this has just never been confirmed. The women were under the impression that they would be driven back home to Maryland, but according to an article by Michael Balsamo and Michael Tarm for the Associated Press, they were taken to Route 197 that just happened to be land owned by the Federal Patuxent Wildlife Research Center in Prince George's County. It was here where, unfortunately, Haynes shot and killed the three women. The medical examiner revealed that Michonne Chin was shot once execution style, and Tamika Black and Tanji Jackson were shot twice as they ran away from the shooter.
Ugh, that is so scary. And this is just in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, just dark wildlife.
I feel like we're missing some huge piece of information to go from partying at a house to killing three people.
Mm-hmm. So, Tori, the case remained open for 3 years.
Ugh, okay.
Higgs was actually questioned when the murder first happened, mm-hmm. and he admitted that he knew Jackson, but he was not arrested for this.
Okay, so he admitted he knew one of the victims, but that was it.
Yes, okay. But it kind of didn't go anywhere. And it wasn't until 2000 when Higgs, Haynes, and Gloria were indicted for the murder. It's important to note that when Higgs was indicted, he was already in prison serving a 17-year sentence for a drug charge. Gloria ended up accepting a plea deal. He told police that he was not involved in the murders and that it was Higgs and Haynes who committed them.
Mm-hmm.
He entered a plea deal where a part of it was that he would testify against Higgs and say that Higgs forced Haynes to do it and even handed him the handgun.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's put the blame on Haynes and Higgs.
Yes.
And then what happens with those two?
Haynes, who actually pulled the trigger, was sentenced to life without parole plus 45 years.
Mm.
In 2012, he signed an affidavit where he wrote, "Dustin didn't threaten me. I was not scared of him. Dustin didn't make me do anything that night or ever."
Oh, so he took full responsibility, sort of,
mm-hmm.
for all three of the murders in that affidavit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gloria and Haynes had both cut deals in exchange for lighter sentences, and the prosecutors used their stories, which reportedly changed over the course of the trial, to push for the death penalty for Higgs. And in addition to Haynes' 2012 affidavit that contradicts the "Dustin made me do it" story, there are other factors worth considering about this sentence.
Okay.
One of them is that Dustin Higgs has a learning disability.
Mm-hmm.
When he was 8 years old, his mother was diagnosed with terminal breast cancer, and he became primary caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
So during this time, 8 years old, children are kind of learning to read and write and communicate effectively. Mm-hmm. And he suffered a lot of trauma because at the age of 10, he ended up losing his mom. Because of this, he ended up having an emotional development delay.
Okay.
And this was never presented to the jury, nor was the fact that he was his mother's caretaker, nor the fact that he had a learning disability.
Okay. So I have a question, and I don't mean to sound callous. What would his learning disability have changed about the situation of the crime? Like, it seems very tragic to me, but I sort of don't see how it's relevant to the jury.
In 2002, the Supreme Court held in Atkins v. Virginia that it would be cruel and unusual punishment to sentence people with intellectual disability to death.
Hmm, okay.
Another thing that makes this case controversial is between the time that the crime happened and when Dustin was sentenced, the death penalty was eradicated in Maryland.
Oh, okay. But his crime was a federal crime, right? So it's like,
yeah,
it's not completely applicable to him, but it feels really weird.
Yeah,
is that fair
exactly.
to say? Like, it doesn't quite feel right, even though it's not maybe technically applicable to his case.
The importance of this case is not to take away from the horrific crime that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's a conversation of proper punishment.
Yeah, absolutely. After having you walk me through the case, I feel a little bit differently than I did coming into this. Like, I was feeling very angry at Dustin Higgs' sentencing and the fact that he is, you know, as of when we're recording this, scheduled to be executed in a week or so. And now that you've walked me through it, I haven't changed my mind about that. I didn't realize the crime was so horrible. Like, it's so haunting. Like, these three women just at the start of adulthood driven to this desolate federal wildlife preserve, and the way they were killed, like the two of them running after they saw their friend be shot. I mean, it's so horrifying. That being said, Dustin Higgs was not the gunman. He didn't kill anyone. It I mean, I know I just said this, but I guess I'll say it again. Like, it just, the way the sentencing played out here is so inconsistent. These three men got three wildly different sentences that don't have any bearing on the severity of their role in this triple homicide. And I think this is why everyone's feeling a sense of urgency right now about this case. Not because the murders were not horrible, not because there shouldn't be justice in this situation, but because he's scheduled to be executed so soon and because his punishment just so obviously doesn't fit the crime if you look at the details.
We were grateful to speak with Sean Nolan, the chief of the Capitol Habeas Unit in the Federal Defender Office in Philadelphia, who's leading the case for Dustin Higgs' clemency. This interview was recorded last week, but as you'll hear after, there's been big news in the case.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah. That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So first, would you be able to give us a high-level summary of the case for clemency for Dustin, as well as how you got involved?
Basically, you know, our request is twofold. The first is that the sentence be commuted to life because, you know, Mr. Higgs didn't shoot anybody. He wasn't the shooter in this case. It's very clear. Everybody agrees that he was not the shooter in this case, that he didn't kill anybody. Mr. Haynes, who killed the three women, is doing life in prison. And so that's part of our clemency request, is that the second part of it is that he should be entitled to at least a reprieve, which would delay the execution. And one of the reasons for that is so that the various pieces of litigation can be played out in the court in the normal course rather than in a very fast fashion, which is where they are now. But also because of his positive COVID test. He tested positive for COVID about 2 weeks ago, or we were informed of it about 2 weeks ago. You know, he's sick. He is... his lungs are damaged from the COVID. A person with lung damage as a result of COVID, there's no question that he will basically be tortured to death. He will be drowned. And that's what our experts testified to. We presented that to the judge on Tuesday, and we're very hopeful that the judge is going to agree with our position and grant an injunction to stop this execution.
How has COVID had an effect on how you're able to do your job and communicate with Higgs?
Well, it's obviously created great difficulties. In normal circumstances, we would have spent an enormous amount of time with Mr. Higgs over the past year, and especially during the past, you know, several weeks since his execution has been scheduled. You know, it's very dangerous to go into the prison, in a prison in which COVID is just running rampant through that prison right now. And so, you know, our lawyers go to see Mr. Higgs and are exposing themselves. And it's been a difficult thing to kind of balance our, you know, our Sixth Amendment duty to our client as his attorney and balance that with our personal health and our risks to ourselves. It was crazy enough to me that they were moving forward with these executions, you know, in the summer and in recent months with COVID. But this is a game changer at this point, because what happened is they kept doing these executions, which, you know, I've been describing as super spreader events. They bring in people from all over the country that are the execution team to handle these executions. There are guards all over the place. And now what happened is 2 weeks ago, they executed two men. Within 4 days of that execution, more than half of the men on the federal death row tested positive for COVID, including my client.
And how do you, as an attorney, how do you have these type of emotional conversations with your client of keeping him hope, but still pertaining to the seriousness of this conversation? How do you handle that?
Well, it's probably the most difficult part of being an attorney doing these cases is, you know, is helping our clients through these incredibly tough situations. And so, you know, we deal with it the way you deal with anything else. It's the reality of death. Many of us have had to deal with death in our personal lives with family and things like that. And it's a similar concept. But at the same time, there's so much litigation going on. And so for Dustin Higgs, we have to, you know, keep him up to date with all of the litigation. But then at the same time, we also have to deal with the reality that this might happen next Friday. He's facing that as best he can. He's been spending time with a spiritual advisor and trying to prepare himself while at the same time holding out lots of hope.
I think Mr. Higgs' case is such a complicated one because even if you don't add COVID to it, there's such unique circumstances where he's not the person who killed these women. He's not the shooter. And also he has a learning disability.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that, the learning disability, but there's also so much more that we presented to the clemency board. Dustin grew up in complete poverty. You know, his father was a drug dealer who beat him regularly. I mean, and the trauma from that, we know what trauma does from child abuse. Everybody knows that, right? And we have experts that talk about that, but the jury didn't hear that because his lawyers didn't present it and didn't develop that evidence or investigate that evidence. And then the other thing that we asked the clemency board to consider is his record in prison. He's been on death row for 2 decades, and he is a model prisoner. And during that time in prison, he's been an incredible father to his son as best he can. And that's an incredible testament to his character, the fact that he could maintain that in solitary confinement for 2 decades, but that he could maintain his dedication to his son to help him. And, you know, and his son talks about that. His son wrote a letter to the president saying, you know, please don't kill my father. He's been an incredible beacon in my life and has helped me get to where I am. You know, all of those things go into this package of why he should not be executed, but especially because, you know, he didn't kill these people.
Yeah, I also read that his case is specific because between the time where the crime was committed and he was sentenced, the death penalty was abolished in Maryland.
That's right. But that also tells you, you know, all right, so he was convicted and sentenced to death in Maryland. Maryland doesn't have the death penalty anymore. So why are you doing this? Why are you moving forward with this, right? What's the point? What is the point of this? And it's also, he's being executed on Martin Luther King's birthday, you know? And that's just, all of it is insane. It's just insane to me that the government wants to move forward with this execution next Friday within 5 days of the inauguration. It just makes no sense. I mean, our government hasn't done that in more than a century, and now we're doing this.
Just before we finished this episode, the news came down that the federal judge had stayed his execution, agreeing that his COVID diagnosis made lethal injection into a form of torture.
Well, we're not out of the woods yet.
Yeah, they filed their appeal like within 10 minutes. Well, they haven't filed their brief yet. They just, what happens is you file a notice of appeal and then you get a briefing schedule, which will be very quick. Their brief will likely be due tomorrow midday. Things move quickly. Actually, one of our team members was on the phone with him at the time we got the ruling, which was terrific. So she was able to read parts of it to him on the phone and give him the good news. So he was very happy, obviously. One of our other team members immediately called his sister and his son. And so they were happy to hear the news. But, you know, when you deliver news like that to the family, you have to be a little bit tempered because they're appealing this. And we've seen 10 executions go forward in the past several months when things similar to this had happened and the U.S. Supreme Court reversed. We feel this is different, though. I think this is different. If we were just in the same position that we were over the summer with some of this litigation where we did get stays in the lower court that were later reversed by the U.S. Supreme Court, I would be feeling more dire. But the COVID diagnosis and the expert testimony that we presented in support of basically the way that our clients will be executed, I think is a game changer. So I think COVID does have a big impact on this. And Judge Chutkan, in her opinion, you know, that she just issued, I guess, an hour ago, very clearly said that the sensation of drowning is akin to waterboarding. That's what our clients would feel. And certainly that violates the Eighth Amendment, you know, cruel and unusual punishment. We're very happy that Judge Chutkan saw their efforts for what they are. We think her opinion is really strong. And we think that that the circuit court will uphold it. And we're hopeful that the Supreme Court will uphold it as well. And that they will not be able to move forward with Dustin's execution on Friday.
It was so interesting researching this. Like, I am against the death penalty, but mm-hmm. it made me realize how, as a society, we just can't agree on what proper punishment is. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the biggest issues.
Yeah, I think that's a question that the U.S. has a very different answer to than a lot of other countries.
Yeah.
You know, this is reminding me of our interview with Isaac J. Bailey in the last episode, where he was emphasizing that in the U.S., we conflate revenge and punishment.
Yes.
And it's like, by killing Dustin Higgs, who did not himself kill anyone, is that actual punishment? Is that proper punishment? Or is that just revenge? Is that mm-hmm. just like, we are so angry that these three young women died, that someone's got to die for that crime?
It seems that timing is everything in death penalty cases, especially in the case of Dustin Higgs. I did wonder about the factor of racial bias and wanted to better understand how this plays into the process of convicting and sentencing someone to death. To learn more about the history and legal process of the death penalty, I spoke to Robert Dunham, an expert on this topic.
I am the executive director of the Death Penalty Information Center. DPIC is a national nonprofit that provides information and analysis on death penalty issues. We don't take a position for or against the death penalty itself, but we have been critical of the way in which it's administered.
Death Penalty Info just released their 2020 report. What are some of the findings that you can share?
2020 was a very strange year. And it was just as strange when it came to capital punishment as it was with everything else. The findings from 2020 basically show that the year was going to be a continuation of existing trends away from capital punishment. We saw that with Colorado becoming the 22nd state to abolish the death penalty, the 10th to do so in the last 15 years. We saw that with Utah and Louisiana reaching 10 years without an execution, bringing to 34, two-thirds of all the U.S. states, the number of states that either no longer have a death penalty or haven't carried it out in more than a decade. We had an unprecedented use of the federal death penalty. Really, what we've seen from the federal administration is something unparalleled in modern times. There were 10 executions. That was more federal executions, more federal civilian executions in 1 year than in any year in the 20th century and in any previous year in the 21st century.
Do we know some of the contributing factors as to why there have been such high rates of federal executions?
Donald Trump And that's the only explanation. His administration has been so far out of step with anything we have seen in modern American history. And when we look at these federal executions themselves, they have been carried out in a manner that is inconsistent with the rule of law. Every other jurisdiction, every state in the United States understands that it is not safe to carry out executions right now during the midst of this pandemic. Yet the federal administration plunged forward with a record number of executions. The United States Supreme Court has allowed the executions to go forward, but there have been multiple court rulings that the manner in which the executions are being carried out violates the Federal Death Penalty Act and the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act, and also violates the federal regulations. But the administration strategically chose to create an execution schedule that would deny the courts a meaningful opportunity to adjudicate the legal issues in the cases. That's not something that you would see from an administration that cared one whit about the rule of law.
Yeah. Another problem that people talk about a lot is racial biases in the death penalty and people who get served capital punishment. Would you be able to talk more in depth about that?
I don't think you can understand the racial discrimination in the U.S. death penalty without putting it in historical context. The death penalty is an outgrowth of slavery, lynching, and Jim Crow segregation. There is no way around that. And we just released a report in September 2020. And that report took an in-depth look at the death penalty across American history and as administered today. And what we found was, from the very beginning, the death penalty treated African Americans differently than it treated whites. The death sentence was almost universally imposed on African Americans. Virginia is a great example because we have very strong historical data on that. From 1900 through 1969, not a single white person was sentenced to death and executed for a crime in which the victim was not killed. And during that same period, 73 African Americans were executed. And when we look at the numbers today, the discrimination is still clear. You can't take race out of the death penalty. So when we are talking about whether there should be a death penalty, and we're talking about how it should be administered, it is important to understand that this is not a punishment that contributes to public safety. There have been 173 documented exonerations from death row in the United States since the death penalty came back in 1972. There have been 1,530 executions, 173 exonerations. That is one exoneration for every 9 executions. If planes crashed with that frequency, we'd be doing something about it.
Karina, before we go, I want to tell our listeners about a 6-part docuseries that I know you've started watching.
I've really liked it so far. I can tell this is going to be my next binge watch, but it is such a difficult situation to see.
This 6-part series is on Discovery Plus right now. It's called Killing Richard Glossop, and it's by Joe Berlinger, who's done a lot in the true crime space, a lot of documentaries, and he also did the Zac Efron Ted Bundy movie, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, that we talked about a couple episodes ago. This is my recommendation for you if this episode has gotten you intrigued about the idea that there are people on death row who maybe don't deserve to be on death row, whether that's because their crime, you know, the punishment doesn't fit the crime, or because they are innocent altogether. So the case of Richard Glossop is a weird one. On January 7th, 1997, there are 3 men who work at this Best Budget Inn in Oklahoma, okay? So one of them, Barry Van Treese, is the owner. And on that date, Justin Sneed, who was the maintenance man, beat Barry Van Treese to death using a baseball bat. Justin Sneed is arrested, and in exchange for not getting the death penalty, he pins the whole thing on Richard Glossop, who's the Best Budget Inn. Richard Glossop is tried, convicted, given the death penalty, put on death row. 4 years later, the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals throws out his conviction and says that the case against him is really weak. And then 3 years after that, he has another trial. He's convicted of the murder again and sentenced to death again. So this is one of those cases that's sort of been bouncing around in the legal system for quite some time, obviously with huge stakes on the table. And there's a lot of fishy stuff, like Justin Snead, who admits that he did the murder. He was possibly on meth at the time. He was a petty criminal already, and his family apparently thinks that he is lying. So anyway, the documentary gets far more into all of that than what I'm telling you now. But the part that I'm most excited about is that this documentary has unprecedented access to both Richard Glossop, who has been claiming he's innocent for over two decades, and Justin Snead, who admits that he did the actual killing with the baseball bat, but says that Richard told him to do it. So there's access to both of them in the docuseries, and it's definitely one of those, like, mind-blowingly complicated binge watches. So again, it's called Killing Richard Glossop, and you can find it on Discovery Plus.
We would like to give a special thanks to Sean Nolan and Robert Dunham for their interviews this week. And if you want to spark a conversation here at Red Flags, make sure to call our hotline 1-888-9-RED-FLA. That's 1-888-973-3352. For more true crime conversations, be sure to check out ID on Twitter at Discovery ID or on Instagram and TikTok at Investigation Discovery.
And you can ask us questions on our own Instagram feeds too. I'm at Tori_Telfer.
And I am at the Karina Michelle.
Thanks for listening today. Red Flags is a production of Investigation Discovery and Audiation. For ID, our executive producers are Amy Angelowitz, Jessica Lowther, and Marissa Lucy.
For Audiation, our executive producers are Sandy Smallins and Michael Wolfson.
Mark Lotto is our story editor, Ireland Meacham is our producer, and Brad Stratton is our editor-mixer.
Theme music by Marty Beller.
Audiation.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.